Hey everybody, I'm Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Azure Friday. I'm here with Mark Skirl, and we're talking about Azure Batch, but there's some interesting stuff going on in Azure Batch. Low priority
VMs, Scott, yeah. So with low priority VMs, really our main goal is to give our customers access to compute at a very, very significant discount. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, we're talking about between 60 and 80% discount for your compute VMs.
That's a serious discount.
It is a serious discount.
But it's interesting because it seems to me like it solves a problem that I think we all kind of saw in our subconscious with this idea of Azure Batch, which is, hey, I want 500 computers now for 3 days, and now the work is done, and then where do those computers go?
That's right. So in Azure, we've got the cloud, we've got to cater for lots and lots of customers, and lots of those customers, some definitely have steady workloads, but others, their workloads are very spiky and bursty and so on. Mm-hmm. Or there's factors like we build out data centers and add capacity at certain times. So at any particular time, there's a varying amount of spare capacity or surplus capacity in our data centers. And that can vary according to the region. It could vary according to the time of day, the time of month, and even then the VM family, maybe the amount of spare capacity we have for our GPU clusters, for example, is different from our commodity DV2 clusters. So we've got all this spare capacity, so that's what we utilize to be able to give our customers this level of discount.
That's such a smart idea. I think that people don't understand how important it is to have those computers working for you. And I talk to people who are just doing regular VM work or regular app service work, and they say they get uncomfortable around 30 or 40% CPU because they feel they need headroom. But they shouldn't think about it that way. They should be working those machines as hard as they can, and low priority VMs are a way for you as the owner of Azure Batch to keep everyone working.
Yeah. So we can really, as our customers, you can leverage this spare capacity, and that really benefits our customers, and they can get the same amount of capacity and get work done a lot cheaper, or now get a lot more capacity for the same price.
Yeah.
And then it obviously benefits us as well, because it doesn't benefit us having this certain capacity sitting around heating our data centers and not being used.
No, it's a fantastic idea. How sophisticated can it be?
It's pretty sophisticated, and it's sort of like it's one of the reasons why we've added it to Batch is really it does come with some caveats, and hence the very large discount. In that, if you request these VMs, think of it like you're borrowing the capacity from us, and when you come to borrow it, we might not have some or all of the capacity, depending on the availability of that, or once we've given you and you're borrowing it, we might say, hey, we'd like some of this back now. So there are some caveats, and there are only some workloads it's very suitable for, but there are definitely some workloads that it isn't suitable for.
Sure.
And you really sort of have to have a workload that can tolerate capacity being reduced at a certain point, and can tolerate work that's being done, and especially in the batch world, the tasks getting interrupted.
Yeah, but this makes a lot of sense, though. As someone who likes a discount, if I do something like hotels.com, where I am planning my entire vacation and I'm counting on there being a room there, when I buy a surplus room and I show up and a paying customer or a more paying customer has shown up, I'm not going to feel so bad. I understand.
Exactly, and I think that's a great analogy. It's on the borrowing or the hotel, and you might have a certain number of cheap rooms because it doesn't benefit the hotel having those sitting unused. But when a full paying customer comes in, you're gonna give the priority that customer has the priority, and hence the name here. So, for us in Azure, if you have low priority VMs and then a higher priority allocation comes in, we might preempt those VMs.
Right. But then I would also like the opportunity to become a higher paying customer as well.
Right.
So maybe you'll show me some examples where I can do both of those things.
Yeah. So yeah, we can absolutely do that. So I think just to summarize the types of workload, I'd say you sort of have to cater for the reduced capacity or be tolerant of interruption. And there's sort of a few main workloads. Batch is obviously one, and that's why we've made this available through the Azure Batch service. But there's other workloads like stateless web front ends, the container-based applications where you've got an orchestrator that can deal with nodes going up and down, map reduced jobs and so on. But initially, we've made this available through Batch, and it's suitable because with batch processing, it's asynchronous. The work tends to be broken up into lots and lots of individual tasks running on lots of VMs. Mm-hmm. So as long as you know you haven't got a fixed time that you want the job done and your tasks aren't too long so they can tolerate being interrupted, this works really, really well. So you're right in terms of the sophistication. And again, one of the sort of real values that we've added by putting this into batch is, if you remember, on batch, you request resources with a concept of a pool, and that's your group of VMs on which your work's going to run.
Right.
So we've enabled a pool to be able to have a combination of the dedicated, the normal on-demand VMs, and the low-priority VMs. And that allows you to balance, even dynamically balance, the types of VMs that you have in that pool.
Mm-hmm. So here it's added into the API of...
So I will see in a second, I'll show you some UI, but you know, as with everything in Azure, you can access it with UI, PowerShell, command line, and APIs. And this is the C# API. So we can see here we've got our pool, we're creating it, and here in this case, we've got 20 of these full price dedicated nodes, and then we're adding in 80 low priority nodes. And then at any point, either with the specific resize or order scale that's built into batch, you can resize it. So in this case here, we're saying, hey, I don't want any full price. I want all 100 low priority.
So let me ask a quick question, though.
Yeah.
Let's say that I've done this. I say 20% dedicated. They are dedicated. They are mine. My jobs will run on those 20.
Yes.
I do the 80%. Let's say that there's, and we'll just pick days of the week. Let's say I do this on a random Tuesday, and I do it on a random Sunday. Is it possible that on a random Tuesday, there isn't 80 low priorities? I'm not going to get the full 100.
Yes, it's absolutely possible. And you know, and that's what your workload has to cater for. Mm-hmm. And then with batch, we sort of provide you various options for dealing with that.
Okay.
So one particular case, it really sort of depends on some of the criteria you have for the jobs that you're running. So let's just say the job that you're running, you kick it off on those days, but pretty much you can it can run whenever it wants,
and
whenever
it
finishes, you know, is fine by you. Mm-hmm. In which case, if your VMs get preempted, you can cater for it, just an example here, you can cater for that reduced set of capacity. And then your job, there's reduced capacity for a certain time, and your job will take longer to run. Mm. Again, one of the things in batch that we've done is it's automatically seeking for you to that target. So say there is some preemption and we take some of the VMs away, and maybe that's sitting on a particular cluster that gets hot. Mm-hmm. Batch will go out and will effectively scour the rest of the region and try and get you replacement. So this is would be a normal situation where some capacity got preempted, and then in the background, automatically, no work required, batch is going and replacing that for you and getting it back to 100 in this case.
So I need to make sure, as you said before, that I've written my batch jobs in such a way that they are somewhat resilient. Are they going to be yanked out from underneath me? Or are they?
Yeah. So the VMs could be effectively basically deleted on you. So whatever task is running could get, you know, or would get interrupted.
Doesn't happen with dedicated things.
And that doesn't happen with dedicated. They come with a regular SLA, availability SLA. And so
then I would assume that I would need to use other appropriate kind of cloud primitives like queuing and
which is what actually batch is providing.
Right.
So it's providing that job scheduling as well. So you know, if this preemption happens, then what batch and a task was running on a VM that got taken away.
Right.
You don't have to do anything. Batch will detect that and will say, okay, I need to reschedule that task. It'll put it back on the queue and it'll get run.
Okay. So by virtue of using the batch primitive,
absolutely,
I have to worry less.
Absolutely.
About this.
Absolutely. So in terms of the scouring and getting replacement capacity, in terms of rerunning any interrupted tasks, batch handles all that.
So there might be a little duplication of
of
work.
Yes, but the overall, obviously, it's 80%, up to 80%.
One of the kind of the classic examples I like to give when I'm teaching classes is like there was a great thing, I think it was the New Yorker, where they had terabytes and terabytes of TIFF files that were scans of the magazine that they needed to OCR and turn into PDFs.
Yes, yes.
That kind of classic batch job.
Be perfect for
if
this.
If it doesn't
perfect
have a time
yes,
limit,
yeah,
I could
yeah.
save a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a perfect case, but if, say, for example, the tasks you were running were taking 7 or 8 hours or something like that, there would be a large impact of any interruption.
Oh, that's a
but
great point.
But in the case of the OCR, I imagine there'd probably be in the seconds or low minutes, in which case it would be perfect for this offering.
Okay, so long-running tasks are much more likely to be preempted in a low-priority situation than short-running ones.
They might be, yes. I suppose they're more likely.
They are
statistically
but really,
it's more
likely.
Like the impact of that. If you get 8.5 hours into a 9-hour task,
oh, yeah,
it's going to be a larger impact on you.
That's a great point.
And then you're right as well. You're probably statistically more likely to be interrupted.
Okay, so lowest cost. That
so
makes
lowest
sense.
Cost. So then the other strategy that we allow with the mixture in the pool is having a guaranteed baseline. So in this case, we're basically saying 40% or 40 VMs you pay full price for, and you're willing for that. And then you're going to supplement those with 60 low priority. So if there is any interruption, you can guarantee a baseline. And therefore, effectively, you're setting that maximum execution time for the job. You guaranteed
yes.
the very minimum you got.
That seems
there.
Almost to me like the ideal. Mm-hmm. Because you have an absolute outer bound of how long this job will take. You can tell your boss it'll take that long.
Right.
And then if you happen to get a bunch of low priority nodes, you saved a huge amount of money.
Absolutely.
And it was only that much faster. Everyone looks good.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And there is one final one
mm-hmm.
where you can really leverage, and this is sort of, a key value of the Azure Batch service, is you can leverage the autoscale capability.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to try and maintain that capacity of round about 100 and you're willing to effectively fill in the gaps,
mm-hmm.
then you can use the auto scale to scale up if there is some preemption and fill it with full price VMs. And then if batch is able to get the low priority again, then it'll scale them back down.
Good point. So from I need to get it done in a consistent time, and you'll only succeed in saving money in this scenario.
Yes. So you're willing to say you really actually have more of a priority about getting the job done in a more dependable time frame.
Right.
So you're willing to supplement the capacity. So this is sort of a snippet of our autoscale formula, which basically says, look, set the number of full price dedicated nodes to the number that is preempted. So you can basically, if there is some preemption, the black line here is the full price dedicated nodes, and mm-hmm. that sort of scales up. So you still get a little bit of a gap. It'll overshoot a little, but the net is roughly you're netting out
at
the
on.
Same capacity. Yeah.
Fantastic. And is this available now for people to
so
use?
So this is available now. It's in public preview, and it's at build, and it's in public preview. It's available for batch in all regions and all VM sizes that batch supports. Actually, I think maybe the thing just to emphasize on the value, if we go and you go to the pricing page. This is the pricing page for batch. And just to sort of emphasize the cost savings, this is for F-Series, for example. We can look at the F-16. And we've got the full price here of 0.796 cents. And you can see the low priority price of 0.16%.
Wow.
So the H-Series, which is obviously one of our premium SKUs, you can see, again, this two. Actually, this is the most expensive one, $2.86, and it's 51 cents at the low priority
price. Wow. So there's a big opportunity for people here. If you've been thinking about using Azure Batch, this is a huge opportunity for you to take your existing batch workloads and save some great money on them. Mm-hmm. Or if you haven't jumped into the Azure Batch world, this is a perfect time.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. I'm learning all about low priority virtual machines and Azure Batch here on Azure Friday.